Let us turn in our Bibles at this time to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We'll start with verse 1. Luke 24, starting with verse 1. And it reads, in Luke 24, starting with verse 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Who were they? Let's skip ahead to verse 10. "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." And what did they tell them? Let's back up to verse 2. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the ground, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest." The name of my sermon today is Saved by His Life. Most of the time when we talk about Jesus coming to save us, we talk or think of him dying for us. Did he need to die for us? Let's go to two places to answer that question. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, starting with verse 26. This is the Matthew account of the story of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, starting with verse 26. We'll read 26 to 28. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 28. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So Jesus says there that his body is broken for us, and he says his blood is shed for the remission of sins. Now the next question is, what does the Apostle Paul have to say about the remission of sins? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22. And the Apostle Paul tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Remember what Jesus said when he instituted the Lord's Supper? He said his blood is shed for the remission of sins. Paul says without shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Therefore, we conclude that yes, Jesus' death on the cross was necessary for us to have salvation. Without his death on the cross, we couldn't be saved. The Bible is crystal clear on that. But the next question is his death the only thing that saves us? Let's start now by turning to the book of 1 John. Let's start exploring the answer to that question, or answers. Let's start with 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And it reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So John tells us, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And in chapter 1, verse 9, John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If Jesus were not risen from the grave, he could not be our advocate with the Father. If he were still lying dead in the tomb, he could not cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He could not forgive us our sins. We most definitely needed him to be alive. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews. We'll spend some more time in the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul talks about the same thing in different words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. If you remember, John says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here in Hebrews 4:14, we'll see what Paul calls him. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Paul is speaking about the same role that Jesus has now. John called him our advocate. Paul calls him our high priest. But again, if Jesus were lying dead in the tomb, we wouldn't have a high priest that has passed into the heavens. Let's turn to, in the same book, to chapter 9, verse 12. Chapter 9, verse 12. Paul says here, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place," talking about the heavenly sanctuary, "having obtained eternal redemption for us." How did he obtain eternal redemption for us? He entered into the holy place. He entered into the heavenly sanctuary. If he were lying dead in the tomb, he couldn't have entered into the heavenly sanctuary. He could not have obtained eternal redemption for us. Again, we needed him to be resurrected. He needed to be alive. Let's turn to chapter 7 in the same book, verse 25. John tells us he's our advocate. Paul says he's our high priest. John says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul says he has obtained eternal redemption for us by entering into the holy place, the heavenly sanctuary. The conclusion of the matter there is in Hebrews 7:25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." If he were not alive, he wouldn't be able to make intercession for us. But the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So we are not only saved by his death, we are most definitely saved by his life. We needed him to be alive again. Jesus tells us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if Jesus were lying dead into the tomb, no man could go to the Father by Jesus. We needed him to be resurrected. We needed him to be alive. Now in the book of Hebrews, again, I want to take you to chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll read verses 17 and 18. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. It reads, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him," that means made it necessary for him, "to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Today, we would say he is able to help them that are tempted. But I want to mention that word succor, even though it's not commonly used, if at all, in today's English, it's more specific in its meaning. It specifically refers to it's helping someone, but when helping them, bringing them out of distress. So when we are tempted, Jesus is able to bring us out of that distress. Could he do that if he were still lying dead in the tomb? Not at all. If he were still lying dead in the tomb, he couldn't do any of those things for us. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. Here the Apostle Paul says to us, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you," meaning will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. In other words, he will not allow you to be tempted in a way that you can't handle. "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And without having Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary, able to help us, able to bring us out of distress when we're tempted, we wouldn't have our helper if he were still lying dead in the tomb. So we are most definitely not only saved by his death, but we are also saved by his life. Before closing, I want to make another important point. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 5, verse 22. We'll read verses 22 and 27, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 27. Jesus says here, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." God the Father has given all judgment into the hands of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same one who died for us, the same one who has risen from the grave, the same one who entered into the heavenly sanctuary and became our advocate, our high priest, or if you want to use another word, our intercessor. That same Jesus has been given all judgment. Let's read verse 27. "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Because Jesus became a man, as we read earlier from the book of Hebrews, he's able to help those of us who are tempted and deliver us from the temptation. And here, because he is the Son of Man, because he became a man, he is also given the authority to judge human beings. And Jesus could not be our judge if he were still lying dead in the tomb. We are most definitely saved by his life. So not only could we not be saved if Jesus had never died on the cross for us, If Jesus had not been born in Bethlehem, we couldn't be saved. If Jesus had not lived his life of self-sacrifice, self-denial, and ministry, we couldn't be saved. Again, if Jesus had not died on the cross, we couldn't be saved. And again, if Jesus had not risen from the grave, if he had not been resurrected, we couldn't be saved. Praise God, Jesus is risen from the grave. We are most definitely saved by his life. But one other important thing to remember, friends, even though Jesus is our judge, even though he is our intercessor, and one other thing I forgot to mention, when the intercessor or the advocate or the high priest, whatever you want to call him, is the same as the judge, how can you go wrong? It would be just like being in a courtroom and the defense attorney being the judge. The defendant couldn't go wrong. But we have to remember, as the judge, Jesus will not clear the guilty. The wise man tells us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's Proverbs 28:13. And let's turn to the book of Revelation 22, verses 11 and 12. This makes it even clearer that Jesus will not clear the guilty. Revelation 22, 11 and 12. There will come the day when Jesus is no longer interceding in the heavenly sanctuary because he's coming again. Amen? There will come that day when he's no longer interceding in the heavenly sanctuary. And it reads in Revelation 22, verses 11 and 12, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So Jesus is our intercessor and our judge at the same time, but he will not clear the guilty. And he's coming again. And before he comes, the decision will be made. Sinners will remain sinners, and those who are righteous will remain righteous. In closing, we'll turn to four more places in the Bible. Let's turn to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verse 10. Paul says, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Again, as we have seen, he needed to be resurrected. He needed to be resurrected so that he could be our high priest, so that he can help us when we're tempted and deliver us from the temptation. He needed to be resurrected so he can be our judge. We are saved not only by his death, but by his life. Let's turn back to the book of Hebrews. Here the Apostle Paul says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Jesus will no longer be bearing the sins of man. He will be coming again in his glory to receive his redeemed ones. In the same book, let's turn to chapter 6, verse 19. Paul says here in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Friends, if Jesus were lying dead in the tomb, we wouldn't have that hope. But praise God, Jesus is alive. So we have that hope of eternal salvation. And let us close with Revelation 1:18. Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That word hell there, you might know, refers to the grave. Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. Everything is in his hands. And friends, no matter what your sins may be, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The one who has the keys of hell and of death is able to save every one of you to the uttermost who go to God by him. May that be the experience of every one of us. As the angel said in the tomb, he is not here, but is risen. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your Holy Scriptures and revealing to us the plan of salvation in them. And we pray that as we leave this worship service, that the Spirit of Truth will continue to be our teacher, comforter, and guide. And we thank you so much for the angels guarding us. And we thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to teach and comfort us. And we thank you so much for giving us your Son, who died on the cross for us and was resurrected for us, that we may have eternal salvation. And we thank you again for that precious gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we pray that you will help us to remain patient and faithful until his glorious coming. In his all-sufficient and worthy name we pray. Amen.